AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. It is Friday ahead of the Fantasy Football Playoff Weekend, Super Wild Card Weekend. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. And Davis, here we go. And let's see, a little bit, is it 1 month from today is the Super Bowl or 1 month from yesterday? It's coming fast, man. I think the 12th of February is the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. So we got 1 month to go. And this weekend, we're going to get it all started. Some really compelling games. Spreads have moved all over the place because of quarterbacks and different issues. I don't recall seeing something like this in a while where you literally have two teams that are not starting their starting quarterback. You have one of those two teams is starting their third string quarterback. And then naturally you have some surprise teams making the playoffs this year too in Seattle. So I'm looking forward, and Jacksonville. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it all transpires.
Yeah, I mean, the last time that I recall two starters not being in, they actually played each other. It was the Houston Texans and the then Oakland Raiders. I believe that was our TJ Yates, Connor Cook playoff game. That was the only game that Connor Cook ever started for the Raiders. That early Saturday game generally is not a banger. Although this year, the early Saturday game, I mean, you could argue is maybe one that the result is sort of up in the air because that Seattle-San Francisco game is going to be played in cold, rain, which I think benefits Seattle quite a bit. So pretty excited to see how that turns out.
Yeah, some big spreads in these games, more than a touchdown in several of them. Let's get to our headlines here on the show. We'll talk a little bit more about this throughout the program, but Lamar Jackson clearly injured. He is ruled out against the Bengals. He tweeted out some stuff yesterday. We will get to that in just a minute. Very interesting to see a quarterback go to social media to tell everyone, but you know, I guess with all the rumors going around that he didn't want to play, smart move, I think, by him. Luka Doncic with a 35-point triple-double. He leads the Mavericks over the Lakers in double overtime. Tyrese Halliburton's going to miss a couple of weeks with a knee injury. And the Patriots are going to have a new offensive coordinator in 2023. So naturally, a lot to get to here on the show. I know we're going to talk a ton about Lamar Jackson coming up here, Davis. And, you know, obviously that's a big story. And it's kind of funny that the Bengals are really that team right now, I think, in the NFL playoffs that really aren't getting talked about a ton. And this is a team that got to the Super Bowl last year. But as long as they can win, you know, just by 1 point, I don't know if it'll be by 10, but as long as they can just win by 1 point, the Bengals are in really good shape moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, the issue for the Cincinnati Bengals is that because they were not able to get the one seed just the way the conference shakes out, they are going to have to play the Buffalo Bills next week. not very fun, right? The Chiefs get the benefit of the one seed. They are either going to play, well, they'll play the lowest remaining seed. Probably the Chargers, could be the Jaguars. Hey, who knows? Crazier things have happened. Maybe against the seventh seed. But yeah, I mean, like it actually very similar to what we had last year, where does anyone even really remember the AFC Conference Championship last year? Like, I guess they do because it was the worst second half of Mahomes' career. I don't think I've ever seen the Chiefs play that poorly, but everyone remembers the divisional round, you know, 13 seconds left. If it's going to be grim, be the Grim Reaper, all that stuff with the Chiefs and the Bills. And I think we'll probably see the same thing. I would bet that probably the best game we are going to see is going to be that Bills Bengals game. Oh, I mean, I guess Chiefs and winner of that game could be pretty good as well. But I don't know. I mean, it feels like this seventh added team is kind of taking it away from us. I think the old two bye system gave us better conference championship games.
Yeah. Which game you like the most going into the weekend? I know you got Dallas, I think, is still one of your teams. So I guess that's Monday night. Any other game?
I mean, I think probably the best game is going to be New York, Minnesota, because no one believes in Minnesota, right? That's which I think just makes it the most interesting when the second seeded team, no one cares, no one likes them. So I think that's probably going to be our best game. And I think that, I mean, it's the only game that's being played indoors as well. So that might be the game that we have to rely on some scoring there. I think that one will be pretty good.
All right. Also, let's touch on a couple of other stories going on. Sony Open, first day yesterday, Davis, your thoughts on that. And then let's pivot over real quick. Andrew McCutcheon signs a 1-year deal. Ironically, he's back in Pittsburgh. So those are the other two things happening today as well.
Yeah. I mean, Sony Open, it is just, it's 30 degrees here in St. Louis. It's cold. It's windy. It's rainy. So watching the Wailea Country Club there on TV is pretty nice. Jordan Spieth is tied for first. I mean, in general, I like that when Spieth is going to get up there on the leaderboards, because it's just kind of good for the product overall. And then one of the guys that I bet, Danny McCarthy, he is tied for second, 5 under par. Like to see that. I mean, it's just it's just a really good have it on in the background. It's on in prime time. You can kind of, you know, you can take your Friday afternoon nap with the golf on, really enjoying that. And then McCutcheon, I mean, I'm a little surprised McCutcheon is still playing. I mean, it feels like his played skills have really gone down the last couple of years. A little strange there, but I guess good for him. I mean, it doesn't matter. The Pirates stink, like, who cares? So go and play for the Pirates, stink every day. No one's gonna watch you, no one's gonna care.
It's really amazing. The Pirates have signed, I feels like, more free agents than any other team in baseball. They signed Carlos Santana, they signed McCutcheon, they signed Rich Hill, they signed Vince Velasquez.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Like, I mean, look, again, got to build your way up on that payroll. You can't have a payroll of $20 million, so you got to sign somebody. But I didn't anticipate the Pirates being this active, that's for sure. But it's a good story, at the very least. McCutcheon started his career, won an MVP with the Pirates, and now goes back there. We'll see where we rank him for fantasy baseball coming up very soon. All right, coming up next, Lamar Jackson. We're going to talk a little bit more about this topic. It's a hot topic right now in the NFL, and we'll hit on it next. Will Lamar Jackson play at all for the rest of the playoffs? We'll see. Talk about it next. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. When the Baltimore Ravens lost last week, Davis, to the Cincinnati Bengals, Monday morning the line opened up and the Bengals were 6.5-point favorites. But as the week went on, this line just kept climbing and went to 8.5. And then some news broke yesterday, and don't look at the line now, because just hide your eyes, that no one's giving Baltimore a shot to win this one. because Lamar Jackson yesterday took to social media to sort of inform fans as to what was going on, saying that he's got a PCL strain, looks like a grade two, closer to grade three. And as you know, Davis, there's been a lot of speculation that he just doesn't want to play in these games. Well, obviously that is not true based on hearing this. I don't fault Lamar Jackson at all for taking to social media to sort of clear this up. But the idea of him playing again this postseason, I think, is a very low percentage. And the chances of him playing for the Ravens in the future, probably, I don't know, 50-50, maybe even worse than that. So really interesting, I thought, yesterday for him to do this.
I do. I mean, I like the idea of him getting out ahead of it, because I think probably he was here. Well, and I mean, obviously, like, this tweet was drafted by, you know, his people. Sure. Although Lamar, I think, famously does not have an agent. And that's one of the things that people were criticizing him for with these negotiations. Either it's like someone he knows is his agent, or he is his own agent. And that was some criticism being levied at him for why there had not been a, you know, official negotiation, a contract signed between him and the Ravens. But I think this tweet was definitely drafted with multiple folks. And I like the idea. I mean, we live in a day and age of like, there are a lot of horrible things about social media. I think you could argue with conviction that social media is like a net bad for humanity. But this is one of the good things. It's like, if Lamar wants to say, look, man, my knees hurt, I want to play for my guys, but like, my body is just not doing well. Well, guess what? He could just get on the internet and tell people that straight up. And I like that idea, because I think one of the things you would have heard as a negotiating tactic probably from the Ravens is, oh, Lamar didn't want to play unless he was 100%. You know, the team really needed Lamar, but Lamar didn't want to go, right? And if Lamar didn't come out with a statement, that would have hung around him forever, right? That would have been a thing that people would have been saying about Lamar when we're talking about putting him in the Hall of Fame 15 years from now. They would have said, oh, you know, the Ravens made the playoffs that one year, but Lamar was feeling a little sore, so he didn't want to play. So I like that statement. I mean, to me, if I'm Lamar Jackson, I am not signing with the Ravens, man. They have had every opportunity to give this guy the money that he deserves. Kyler Murray, who has done, I mean, compared to Lamar Jackson, I like Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray has done nothing compared to Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is an MVP, one playoff game. Like, this guy is incredible, you know. And the same thing for Deshaun Watson. You're telling me that in a world where Deshaun Watson, who, by the way, played horrible this year, just like stunk it up left and right, $260 million guaranteed, he's getting every penny of that. You're telling me that Lamar can't get, I think what it was reported is he wanted $216 million guaranteed, what Kyler got. The Ravens can't give him that, and they can give Roquan Smith, an off-the-ball linebacker, a guy who's not going to impact them winning or losing these playoff games, they're going to give him $100 million. I'm not putting my name on the dotted line if I'm Lamar at this point.
Yeah, and who knows? That may be the case going into the offseason. And remember, the Russell Wilson stuff was very quiet for a while, and then boom, all of a sudden he just got traded and got extended by the Denver Broncos. Maybe we'll be in store for that as well. We will see. But I'm with you. Lamar Jackson's got to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, not named Mahomes. And even if he got more than Mahomes, fine. I mean, it's just the nature of him almost entering free agency, in my opinion, there. So we'll see. Before we get to the next injury, I still kind of like Baltimore this week. I don't know why. I still kind of feel like that's a lot of points. No? Is Huntley that bad? I know he's looked terrible, but he's looked awful.
So the issue is not Huntley. The issue is that Huntley is not healthy. So as of right now, if they had to play today, it would be Anthony Brown. And my answer to is Anthony Brown that bad would be yes, he is actually. And look, it's not, I mean, how is it fair to him? It's like your second ever career start has to come in a road playoff game against a team that made the Super Bowl last year. Like, it's not really his fault, but I mean, very similar to how I feel about Skylar Thompson is like, yes, these guys actually are that bad, you know? So the line does make sense.
For sure. Okay. So very interesting yesterday, Brandon Staley, who is getting torched across the country, and probably for good reason. Brandon Staley yesterday tells the media that Mike Williams is going to go and he's going to travel to Jacksonville, but it is not about the playing time. It's about the rest. It is about the rest for Mike Williams. And he is getting crushed for that statement, because if it was about the rest, Davis, why didn't he sit the last game? It doesn't make any sense at all. Chargers are on the road at Jacksonville this week. I mean, I like a good train wreck. I don't know. I'm kind of pulling for Jacksonville, I got to be honest.
Oh, I'm rooting for Jacksonville. And Craig, you know, I am fair when it comes to these Saints. Because last year, when everyone was killing Brandon Staley, I mean, and everybody was killing Brandon Staley for going for it in all these games, going for two, going. And I would come on and say, look, man, he's just following the math. He's doing what every NFL team should do. This year, Brandon Staley coaching like an idiot. I'm going to say this guy is coaching like an idiot. I was in Brandon Staley's camp. I was a fan of his. I was like, I thought what they were doing, actually very similar to what Harbaugh and the Ravens kind of went through last year. Right. And people killed Harbaugh a little bit, but not to the same extent, but it feels like Brandon Staley spent an entire offseason reading, you know, these profiles and these articles about the Chargers. And it's like, you know what? I'm just going to pretend to be Bill freaking Cower. I'm going to coach like it is 1967. I'm punting. I'm making my guys play. We're playing hard. It feels like he like wants to pretend to like be Dan Campbell or something, you know, with some of these quotes. I got to give that whole experience against the Denver Broncos in week 18. I got to give Brandon Staley like an F-. I mean, so Mike Williams gets hurt. Underreported, Joey Bosa also got hurt in that game. Now, it seems like he's going to be able to play, but he also got injured in that game. And, I mean, it would be one thing if it's like, you know, we needed to build our confidence up. Like, we were feeling kind of shaky about X, Y, and Z as a team. They got their butts kicked by the Denver Broncos, who are like maybe the worst team in the AFC other than the Houston Texans on the track record of what I mean, just it's really inexcusable. It's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, and again, if he would have played Herbert in the first quarter or second quarter, took him out, fine. But I mean, he played like all the way through the third quarter. And Eckler, like every time he was tackled, I'm like, my gosh, I hope that guy doesn't get hurt. They took him out once and they brought him back in. I've never seen anything like that before. Buffalo's up to 13.5-point favorites. Davis, Teddy Bridgewater remains limited. If you told me Teddy B was playing this week, Davis, I think this would be the best bet on the board, taking the Dolphins plus the points, because I do think he can keep it close. The line is not telling us that. The line is telling us Skylar Thompson is going to play. Mostert, I think, could be out too. I mean, I guess Miami's only hope is that they really dumb the game down. And you know, it's like 21-7 Davis in the fourth quarter or something like that. Miami kicks a field goal to cover or something like that. I don't give Miami any chance at all if Skylar Thompson's starting.
Oh, I don't give them any chance at all. And I already copped to making a bad bet this week. And I did when I thought Teddy could maybe start or Tua could maybe start, I did bet Miami Dolphins plus 10.5. I mean, that's just gone. That money is just, you know, might as well not going to chase it. That money is not going to come back to me. So every once in a while you get beat on those. Poor Skylar Thompson went to K-State. My shares an alma mater with me, but think this is a bit too much for him.
Yeah. And Thompson really good in college, but, and by the way, really good in the preseason too. But he has not looked good in these regular seasons. He has looked like check down Charlie and all of these. Like, he doesn't even look down the field, Davis. It is just like, immediately to Jeff Wilson, immediately to Mostert. I don't know. It could be a long day for the Dolphins.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
In Buffalo, we'll see. All right, coming up next, time to dive into some DFS action for the weekend. Jim Sanis joins us. It's our look at the DFS slate over on FanDuel, so stay on the grid. As Davis and I will be right back right after this. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. It's time for us to take a look at the Super Wild Card Weekend Daily Fantasy Slate. All right, got that all out. It's the Sunday slate that we're going to be reviewing. And, of course, Davis is here along with Jim Sanis of FanDuel. We're going to end number fire. We're going to break all of these things down and see if we can come up with some options for the weekend. Jim, it's definitely hollowed ground here. I don't recall like sort of having these games with backup quarterbacks and huge spreads going into the weekend. And typically, Jim, wildcard weekend is one where we should be expecting the unexpected. Like teams that are 13-point dogs end up winning outright. We've seen this in the past. But gosh, the task is very difficult for Huntley and for Skylar Thompson. And so I guess we'll just kind of have to see what happens. But again, thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it does kind of put a damper on it a bit, but I still think that even if we don't see super competitive games, at least we get to watch fun offenses. Like the Bills, even if they're up by like 20, they're still willing to chuck it. The Bengals, there's always that, you know, interdivision rivalry. They're not huge fans of the Ravens. Maybe they'll be kind of vindictive in this one too. So even though it's big spreads, I'm still optimistic about the quality of play, at least for half of the teams on this slate. But we'll see about the other, the two. They could drag things down quite a bit.
Right. Well, the big slate is Sunday, so let's take a look at the quarterback pricing, and then we'll start from there. Now, over on FanDuel, highest priced quarterback, no surprise, as it should be, it will be Josh Allen. He is priced on FanDuel at 9,200. Now, obviously, if the game goes as scripted and Buffalo's up big, as Jim mentioned, Buffalo does tend to keep pushing, so I don't know that he would come out of this game or anything like that, but that's an interesting note there. Joe Burrow is a tick down at 8,000. Kirk Cousins against the Giants, 7,500. Daniel Jones at 7,400. And then naturally, Jim, I think we got to stop at that point. I mean, I just cannot do it. I cannot play Thompson, and I cannot play Anthony Brown. And naturally, if Huntley played, maybe that would change the conversation. And as of right now, we just don't know.
Yeah, he's throwing left-handed in practice, which seems bad. So I'm going to be okay with being off of Huntley as well. I think to me, I think on this slate, there is enough value to get to either Joe Burrow or Josh Allen. And I like both those guys. I think Josh Allen very clearly is the number one quarterback on this slate. Even when you account for salary, he is the runaway top option here. So I want to get there. And I think that given the value we have potentially at running back, some value wide receiver, I don't mind spending down for tight end as well. I think that there is enough to get to Allen. So I think he is your primary focus. Like I said, they still keep their foot on the gas, even though they're up big late in these games. The Dolphins defense is not one we need to fear too much. So I think Allen is the primary focus. Now, if you look at Allen's projected roster rate on Sunday, and you're like, it's a little bit high and you want to deviate, I think you can deviate without being dumb and go to Joe Burrow. Very tough matchup with the Ravens, but the Bengals have been shredding ever since they changed their offensive scheme back in week 5. Now, their two bad games in that time have been against the Ravens, but they have Ja'Marr Chase healthy, T. Higgins healthy once again. I think the Bengals can put up a big number here. So to me, I want to get to Burrow or Allen. I think that Daniel Jones does have an appeal given how much he can run, how the tight spread and high total in that game. But to me, I want to get to Allen and Burrow if I can, and I do think I can on this slate.
Yeah, I mean, I think that probably just seeing Josh Allen at like 40-50% owned on Sunday, I'm just going to have to roll with Burrow for the most part. And honestly, I could probably talk myself into Daniel Jones on FanDuel as well. You know, we're not worrying about fading any of the bonuses, you know, 300 passing yards, stuff like that. So I think Daniel Jones, like, let's call it 21 with like 40 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown should be more than enough. And honestly, I have a feeling that so much of what people are going to do is going to condense on Burrow and Chase, Burrow and Higgins, Allen and Diggs, Allen and Dawson Knox, because of how hard the tight end position is to fill on FanDuel. I do sort of feel like Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, like some of those guys, like permutations of those, and all the tertiary Minnesota guys with Kirk Cousins, Thielen, Osborne, Hockenson. I feel like those combinations are going to be way underowned relative to what I expect the scoring environments to be in the other two games. So I'm probably going to do a lot. Horrible to say, but I'm probably going to do a lot of Daniel Jones on FanDuel.
All right, fair enough. Now let's take a look at the running back pricing. We do have some good options here that we're aware of going into the game. We've got Saquon Barkley is the highest priced running back as he goes against the Vikings this weekend. Joe Mixon is at 7,900. All systems go for Dalvin Cook. He is 7,800. And also, by the way, J.K. Dobbins is going to play for the Baltimore Ravens. So he could be an option at 6,800, Devin Singletary, 6,200, and then naturally Jeff Wilson Jr. on the Dolphins, if indeed Raheem Mostert does not play. They do have another backup there, Jim, and Salvon Ahmed, who did see, I think, his first carry, if I'm not mistaken, of the season or something like that last week. But Wilson, you know, would obviously be a player. If the Dolphins could keep it close, that could probably get some points.
And that's the key question of this slate is, can they score enough points not to get Wilson like to pay off his salary, but to show a ceiling? Like, can he show a ceiling in an offense led by Skylar Thompson? I think they can, because the Dolphins, this is with Tua, but in that game against the Bills, when it was supposed to be a blizzard, they were able to run the ball pretty effectively. So I think we could see a lot of Alec Ingold, a lot of heavy personnel for the Dolphins in this game. And I think we might be able to get the Dolphins to move the ball there. So I think that Jeff Wilson, despite having very low expectations for this offense, I do still think he is an option at $6,000, given that he should get work in the passing game as well. So Jeff Wilson to me is a key focal point in trying to get up to guys like Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, etc. Dalvin Cook to me is undersalaried at 78. He's been bad throughout most of this year, and the Vikings rushing offense is pretty hideous, especially with no Brian O'Neill at right tackle. So expectations from an efficiency perspective are low, but the Giants are dead last against the rush on early downs based on my numbers, and we've seen Dalvin get a lot of work in the passing game as well. So when you see his salary at 78, that to me says I can use him as a discount and as a way to get productivity, get bell cow type usage for a relatively low salary. So to me, Jeff Wilson, Dalvin Cook, both guys undersalaried, and I think I have high enough expectations for their offense to feel good about them at running back.
Yeah, I don't have anything to disagree with what Jim said. My one galaxy brain take that I would add would be James Cook for the Buffalo Bills. I've sort of gotten this sense over the last couple weeks that the Bills know James Cook is their best running back, that he's kind of got the most juice, Singletary's fine. I don't think they like hate Devin Singletary or anything like that. In fact, I was just having this argument the other day that I actually think the Bills are going to re-sign him this offseason, that they're going to give him like a pretty fair contract because they just kind of need someone who knows the drill, who can be where he needs to be, block and all that stuff. But to win a Super Bowl, it's pretty nice to have a guy who can like actually make plays, right? Singletary can get what's blocked, but Cook can make plays. And I also kind of get the sense that this game against Miami, they're 13.5-point favorites, that it's going to be kind of an audition, that they're going to say, all right, dude, this is a big game. Like, we want to win a Super Bowl. Are you going to make us play Devin Singletary 100% of the snaps the way we did last year against the Chiefs? So that is my lean, is I'm going to be playing a lot of James Cook when the field is not going to be playing a ton of him quite yet.
All right, now let's check in at the wide receiver position, and we got a lot of the stars playing on Sunday, so definitely some good options here. Justin Jefferson, you would have to imagine getting ready to break out. I mean, certainly he's had a fantastic season, but you would think that if the Vikings are going to win at all or come close, he's got to have a big game. He's at 9,000. Jamar Chase carried me to my fantasy football championship last week. We inserted him and his stats to week 17. It worked out for me. He's at 8,700. Stephon Diggs is 8,600. Tyreek Hill, wow, this price would be so good if any of the other quarterbacks were playing at 8,500. T. Higgins, very quiet last week, 7,800. And Jalen Waddle, Jim, I believe I saw he has not practiced also for Miami this week. So hopeful that he will be able to play. But my gosh, if Miami is missing two quarterbacks, Mostert and Waddle, this line on Sunday morning is going to be like 16.
Yeah, 13.5 is fair. I think that's the way I would phrase it. And 13.5 is a big number, but I think that's fair. I think a wide receiver, among the high salary guys, Justin Jefferson is my favorite. He had 15 targets or 16 targets in that first game against the Giants. He is the clear focal point on this team. So although I love Jamar Chase, all respect to Stephon Diggs, I think Jefferson is a primary target among the high salaried guys. In the low range, I feel like I'm beating my head against the wall and punishing myself. I hate money, whatever it may be. I'm going to go back to Gabe Davis at 62. He has a 21% target share from week 6 on. That's games without Jameson Crowder and with Isaiah McKenzie being active. Now, McKenzie hurt his hamstring in practice on Wednesday, so may not be fully healthy, but Gabe Davis in those games, 21% target share is not bad, 33% of the deep targets, 25% inside the red zone. you know, it's been bad, but I'll keep on going back. And finally, Darius Slayton gets a lot of downfield work for the Giants. He is their field stretcher, has a lower target share than Isaiah Hodgins and Richie James, but gets more downfield work. The Vikings do let up downfield targets. So Slayton, very volatile, but I think volatile can be a good thing for a low salaried wide receiver. When you're paying just $5,800, I think that Slayton is well worth that salary if we assume that game does boast as many points as bookmakers say it will.
Tyreek Hill, sub 5%. It's really all I got. I mean, just I don't care who's quarterback. Tyreek Hill, 5%, pretty much going to give you like the best leverage you can get in one play.
All right, let's finish off with tight ends real quick, guys. Let's show the graphic for everyone here. Hockenson, Andrews, Knox, Hurst, Isaiah Likely, and Mike Gesicki. Jim, one from you, and then one from Davis, and then that will be our week of DFS.
Yeah, I think I just want to pair my tight end with whichever quarterback I'm using. If I'm going Burrow, give me Hurst. If I'm going Allen, give me Knox. I think you just kind of want to play things that way when things are gross. You're assuming the quarterback does well. Probably going to drag the tight end along for that. So pairing it with whichever quarterback you've got there for me.
Yep, nothing to add. I think that's the right way to treat these short slates is just match your tight end with your quarterback.
All right, there you go. Hey, Jim, enjoy the Super Wild Card weekend. We'll talk again next week. Thanks for coming on.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, we'll take a quick time out here on FST. Coming up next, time for some fantasy or reality. So stay on the grid for that. And then the early line coming up at the top of the hour. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports. Today, big weekend here at Sports Grid with Super Wildcard Weekend. Our in-game live programming is going to be fantastic. Make sure you check it out. And also, if you're on social media, follow us at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. We'll give you the latest news, notes, information, updates on all the games, picks against the spread, everything that you could possibly ask for. Follow us there at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. Now, Davis, our picking has come to an end for the season. I'm not putting my great record during the regular season on the line for the playoffs here. But that being said, I wouldn't mind knowing who you like this week. I think that's fair. I think we can have some leans this week potentially, but I am not going to put my stellar record here on the line for these games. I got to be honest, I just don't love any of the games this week, sides or totals. And it just feels to me like I don't know who's going to start a quarterback for right now for Baltimore, maybe even for Miami. Tampa Bay, to me, it's like I believe what you're saying. And all week long, I've listened to that. Hey, you know something's going to happen and Dallas is going to, fall apart. But then something tells me Dallas is going to kill Tampa Bay on Monday night. Like, I feel like that could happen too. I don't know. I just don't have a great feeling this week.
Yeah, I mean, look, these are the highest liquidity games in the world. I would wager that if you took European sportsbooks, American sportsbooks, you and all the money going into these lines, I mean, these are basically the sharpest lines that you're going to get is NFL playoff lines, like NFL playoff lines and like elimination Champions League lines. Just like sportsbook there. I would bet that there are some sportsbooks who are going to take like 500,000. On some of these lines on Sunday morning and not move them because they're pretty confident that they have the right number. So, I mean, which like we're betting hunches, right? In the NFL, a lot of the time you're betting hunches, yeah. Because these are not markets that are designed to be beatable. These are markets that are designed to let the sports book get each side of the action at plus 110, guaranteeing them some profit. But all that being said, I do have Seattle plus 9.5. I think the bad weather is going to be helpful for them. Just kind of keep it a little bit lower scoring. Not that the 49ers can't go in and just totally blow their doors off and Debo's running crazy and McCaffrey has two touchdowns. Like, obviously the 49ers are a much better team. And then there's also just like a little bit of like, well, Brock Purdy. I mean, I watched this dude a lot at Iowa State. Like, he's pretty mediocre as an NFL quarterback and they haven't had to ask much of him yet. What happens if Seattle just kind of gets lucky early on? You know, maybe they get like a turnover early or something on special teams. I don't know if like calling on Brocktober is going to get it done for them. So I'm taking Seattle. I do feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, I'm just going to lean toward Dallas. on Monday night. That's the only thing I'm going to do. I just have watched too much Buccaneers football all season long to think that a switch is going to be flipped. I just can't do it. I cannot do it. And that's going against everything I know, by the way. Home dogs on Monday night are incredible, but I just don't have a great feel on any of these games. I'm just going to lean. No official pick for me this week. Maybe next week we'll have one. All right, let's go to it. Here's some fantasy or reality. Well, Davis, we saw a lot of umpires retire in the offseason, and no other reason except for contracts were up and a lot of guys are stepping down. Then naturally, what now became more compelling with the story yesterday was ESPN's Buster Olney reported in a story that AAA is going to employ robot umpires this season here in 2023. And naturally, that stirred a lot of emotions because this is not happening in the major leagues this year. But the question is, if it works, will we see it in 2024? Fantasy or reality, Davis? Major League Baseball will have robot umpires in 2024?
I mean, it feels like we are trending that direction. You know, we have the pylon cam for football. You know, I mean, there a lot of us have been wanting a microchip put in the football to like know its exact place. You know, is it a first down? Is it not a first down? We of course have the VAR, the video assistant referee system in European soccer and in Major League Soccer. That's had a huge impact on these games. However, 2024 feels like it's too soon. I feel like probably what'll happen is that I believe they've tried it at high A ball, maybe rookie ball, where they've had the robot umpires. I think you need to have a season of data with it in AAA. So it's like you've got some major leaguers there doing rehab. You have fans in the games. Like there's just more. I feel like at AAA you're getting something close enough, replicating enough the major league experience to just kind of see what it's like. But 2024 just feels too soon. Now, had our lovely producers made this 2030, I'm saying big time reality. Like this is just absolutely inevitable. Baseball is going to speed these games up. There is going to be less human error. And this is just true of all sports, right? Is we are going to have more and more automation, more and more data coming into refereeing these games, as opposed to just like people saying in, out, safe, fair, foul, whatever. So I got fantasy by 2024, though.
Yeah, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to say that balls and strikes in 2024 are going to be called by digital robot umpires. I think that this is coming. I don't think that they could employ this in AAA in 2023 without having this idea for 2024. Now, naturally, Davis, there are still going to be umpires at first base and third base. You know, like people think like it's all robots. I don't think that people understand. By the way, I believe an umpire will be behind home plate as well, because again, you got to call plays at the plate and things like that. But naturally, where they will deviate will be, this is specifically for balls and strikes. I think that this is going to happen in Major League Baseball in 2024. I don't think it'll look any different. I think you'll have an umpire behind home plate, but the pitch will come in and the umpire will be told what to say. Davis, and that's going to be it. I think this is happening in 2024. Again, my guess here on Fantasy or Reality. Okay, the NWSL's first number one pick out of high school. Her name is Alyssa Thompson. She was drafted by Angel City. And again, this certainly has vibes of an athlete being very young and very good. Maybe potentially one of the best athletes in the United States. Fantasy or reality, Davis, on Alyssa Thompson, she will be one of a very limited number of household names by, this time, I guess next year.
So I would say household names in women's soccer. So Mia Hamm and Brandi Chastain from the team that won the World Cup in 2000. I would say those two are like universally recognizable.
Agreed.
And then I would say Megan Rapinoe and Alex Morgan. Megan Rapinoe for being the U.S. women's best player. She's won a bunch of trophies with them. She's like a really unbelievable player. And Alex Morgan is like
Was there a U.S.
Hope
goalie?
Solo. Yeah. Hope Solo. So she's not the goalie anymore, but she was. I would say she was probably pretty close. And she does TV now too. So when you're watching the U.S. men or when you're watching the U.S. women, Hope Solo is on TV a lot. So that's probably four. And then Alex Morgan is a good player, not a great player in the world of women's soccer, but she is she does movies. She's in commercials. She's a very, very attractive gal, but she's also just like really personable. So I'd say those five, and then probably the rest of the U.S. women's team could go to Starbucks and get a coffee and be unbothered a lot of the time, I would guess. So you got to work pretty hard. I mean, and this is even true of the U.S. men's team. Like, I bet some of those guys who were just crushing it over in Qatar and played against the Netherlands, I bet some of those guys, like, I bet Josh Sargent, who played for the U.S. men's team against in Qatar, could, and he's from St. Louis, I bet he could walk in to the coffee shop down the street from my house and not get bothered. So I'm just going to go on the balance of probability here, and I'm going to say no way. I'm going to say, it's very hard to become a household name as a soccer player in the United States, so I got fantasy.
Yep, I think pretty easy fantasy for me as well. No indictment on this young girl who, could be the best soccer player in the world at some point, but she would have to be the best soccer in the world at some point in order to be recognized as a household name in the United States. And those first few names, Davis, that you mentioned, Mia Hamm, Brandi Chastain, yes, knew the name. Alex Morgan, yes, knew the name. I couldn't even remember Hope Solo's name. And we're talking about World Cups here, you know? So I'm going to say fantasy here. The vibes of this, probably not accurate in any way, but the vibes of this are a little Freddie Adu-ish when he first became super popular. Now, I know it didn't work out for him like it did for a lot of other soccer players, and I'm sure that this girl is far better than he was. I don't know, but I do remember when he was signed at such a young age that everyone said he was going to be the next Pele, if I'm not mistaken, and all this crazy stuff. Never worked out like that. I will say fantasy on this as well. Okay, well, Davis, when you go to your local place where you get fountain drink soda, which to me is probably one of the only places left that I even remember having Sierra Mist, you're no longer going to see that Sierra Mist logo. Now, this is a very popular drink probably about 10, 20 years ago, still making its way next to some of the Pepsi products that are there. But Pepsi has announced that Sierra Mist is no more. It's going to be a new citrus drink, which, ironically, Davis probably may taste like Sierra Mist. What do I know? Fantasy or reality? You will miss the famous drink called Sierra Mist. Boy, does that bring back memories seeing those. I don't ever think I bought Sierra Mist now that I think about it. A can? Wow, this could be the first time I've ever seen that like that in person.
I probably have, but look, no shade to Sierra Mist, but it feels like if you want a citrus beverage, people like this is like kind of like an old wives' tale here in the United States. You give your kid 7-Up, you should actually give them ginger ale. It's better for their stomach. But it feels like in the power rankings of clear citrus beverages, Sierra Mist was always a clear 3. Feels like it was always Sprite number 1, 7-Up number 2, and then Sierra Mist. I don't drink fully sugared these. I don't drink these at all now. Do I drink Diet Coke? Yeah. I mean, I'm probably like, I probably drink 3 Diet Cokes a week on average. If you averaged out all the ones, I try not to buy it. Like I try not to have the 12 pack sitting in the garage every once in a while. If I go to the grocery store, like maybe I'll grab one, but, I don't know, man. I did have a regular Coke. I want to say like maybe like 2 weeks ago at a restaurant, they just gave it to me on accident. Not really my nature to complain and be like, oh, I got to send this back, you know? Right. And it tasted funky, dude, like a fully sugar syrup soda. It's like honestly too much. It is very over. If you've not had one in a while, it's a little overwhelming to the senses to have that much sugar on your palate. So I got fantasy, man. This is not going to make an impact on me. I'm not going to miss Sierra Mist. But what a funny little cultural touchstone that is.
It is. It is true. I think the last time I may have had Sierra Mist would be at the press box in the Marlins game. I think they've had Sierra Mist there. It's been a while. So several years ago, I don't remember what it was, 4 or 5, maybe even 10 years ago, I saw my doctor. I don't know what it was for. And he just said to me, do you drink soda? I remember the conversation. I'm like, oh, I'm not very often, whatever. He's like, eliminate that from your life. It is the worst thing for you. He's like, I'm like, yeah, well, what do you think once a week? He's like, eliminate it from your life. And I took his advice. I mean, I almost never, ever have any soda, man. I just don't. Now, I drink a lot of Gatorade. I drink a lot of sports drinks. Those have sugar in it, too. Not Mr. Perfect here. But soda just ain't my thing, so I will not miss. Sierra Mist. Adios. Goodbye. All right, we will come back next. Speaking of goodbyes, turn it over to the early line coming up, but we got the Sports Grid 60 up next. So stay on the grid. We'll have that for you next. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Can't wait to be with you back here on Monday. Davis and I will have a full preview of the Buccaneers and Dallas Cowboys. How fortunate are we to have that game for us here on Monday? But before we get there, we got to get to the weekend. And before we get to the weekend, we got to wrap up here. So let's turn it over to Davis for the Sports Grid 60.
All right. Well, I mean, look. All of us like to watch these games, but we are only watching these games if we have action. I actually had this discussion with a buddy the other day. Like, how much football would you watch if there was no money involved? And I was like, I would watch the Chiefs. That is it. There would be no reason for me to watch the Miami Dolphins for any reason ever if I didn't have any money on these games. But good little bit of advice here. Make your bets on the AFC before these games, because if the Bills or the Bengals get a scare, or conversely, if the Bills and the Bengals, they each score 40, they go nuts. Those markets are actually going to get way shorter after this week. So if you like an AFC price, Chiefs, Bills, Bengals, honestly, even the Chargers. I mean, I would not bet the Chargers with Craig Mish's money, but if you wanted to do it this week, because all those numbers are going to get way worse after this weekend.
Yeah, I think that is fair. Hey, I'm going to end the show today with a little bit of baseball news. Why not? Andrew McCutchen signs a one-year deal, according to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, to return to Pittsburgh. McCutchen, former National League MVP with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think when it's all said and done, I'm not sure that McCutchen is a Hall of Famer, but his numbers are sort of creeping up in that category to sort of ask that question. Now, McCutchen's been on a lot of teams recently, Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, the New York Yankees, Philadelphia Philly, and maybe this is the end of the line. But if it is, it's a good story for baseball. It's a good story for sports to have McCutchen go back home where it all began to end his career. That'll do it for our show today. Thanks to our producers, as always, and our friends at LTN and our graphics department. For Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mish. I hope you enjoy this fantastic playoff weekend in the NFL, one of the most fun weekends of the year. And we'll be back with you again on Monday morning for another edition of the Fantasy Sports Today. See ya.